This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It is that time of the day when we're joined by Matthew Wade, who is the, and we've got two of them here, the senior journalist here in Victoria for Star, the only journalist here in Victoria for starobserver.com.au. Matthew, thank you very much for joining us on the line.
How's it going, Dean?
Shannon, when are you going back to Sydney?
Just before Fair Day, which is the opening day of Mardi Gras.
Right, so you just follow the party season around all around the country?
Is pretty that, much. Wouldn't you want to? Midsummer followed straight up by Mardi Gras. Yes, please, and thank you.
Now, Matthew Wade, before we get to your lineup for today, I believe you went to an event last Friday for the first time in your life.
Was it Midsummer Mooney?
Yeah.
I did.
How was that for you, Matthew Wade?
Okay, so like I'd never gone before. I kind of only heard about it in passing. Like it's a bit of like an urban legend, you know,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, it's got that.
So I was, it was a mixture of anticipation and excitement and nervousness. but you know what? I actually totally loved it. As a very body positive and sex positive person, the idea of men coming together, taking their clothes off and just like, you know, discovering unhidden talents, like that was, it was amazing. I loved it.
It does some extraordinary work within our community.
Oh, of course. I just wanted to mention that as well. It's obviously great for raising money as well. But, you know, the added bonus is obviously, you know,
there are added bonuses. We'll leave it at that. Well, I'm glad you got to experience it because there's truly nothing else like it.
I agree.
And you can have a look at Matthew's report in Star Observer. Now, first story up today, we have received from the Victorian government a commitment to apologise to men convicted of historical gay sex crimes.
Yes, so Daniel Andrews announced, I think it was actually at Pride March, that the government will formally apologise to all the men who were quite wrongly so convicted of the historic gay sex, consensual sex offences from back in the day. So essentially it's just, I guess, saying, I mean, even though the legislation has changed, it's more just like it's a bit like a symbol, I suppose.
Is it a bit of a non-announcement?
Because
I actually, until I looked at it a little closer, I thought it was a much broader apology because we're talking about a very small cohort of people that are still alive. I mean, there are many previously have sadly passed away already, but there's other state-sanctioned practices that have been discriminating in the LGBTI space, which is a much broader space than gay men, for many, many years.
That's completely true. I mean, I think in my interpretation is that it's very much, it's supposed to be symbolic, I suppose, and although it does only affect a small...
Yeah, that's not an announcement.
I know, it's more just, I think it's kind of, I mean, it's a step. It's kind of saying that, like, I mean, it's the government acknowledging that it was terrible, that legislation was in place to begin with and saying it never should have happened. I mean, legislative change is what really says that, but I suppose having a formal apology will go some way in, like, I mean, I think it's largely symbolic more than anything else. And there obviously are a lot of other areas that need practical change over, you know, symbolic verbal gestures.
Indeed. However, it was something, and it was our Premier that said it, and that's a good thing, I guess.
Yes.
Melbourne's Pride March saw opposition leader there for the first time.
The first time ever, yeah, Bill Shorten was in attendance. He marched alongside the Premier with his family.
He's a Victorian, Melbourne-based.
Yeah, at least so.
Poor effort.
For the first time,
Jeez,
yeah.
I'm in a shitty mood today, aren't I? I'm not really, but...
What? Oh, you switched my mic off. You must be in a bad mood. I was going to say, is it because I'm here, Dean Beck?
No. I'm just fired up. Now, what do we take from that?
I mean,
a federal election is what we take from that.
I mean, to me, like, it seems pretty transparent. but it's still obviously a good gesture. But the interesting thing was, I mean, I don't know if you heard on the day, Dean, but there was a lot of rumours circulating that the Prime Minister was maybe going to be there.
Do you know what? I reckon the number one win of Pride March 2016 was the Liberal Party backyarders who managed to spread that rumour that the Prime Minister would be in attendance for the sole benefit of getting them from position 177 to position 6.
Ah, is that what happened?
Yep. So well done to all of them.
And can I just say, a very sarcastic thank you very much to them, because now the Prime Minister's people are very annoyed with a lot of gay media who obviously, myself included, try to get a hold of the PM that day for a comment, or at least his people to confirm, and they weren't happy about being disturbed on a Sunday. So I've copped a bit of flack for that personally.
Oh, don't worry about that. The mainstream media were also contacting them, saying, we've heard... it wasn't just the gay press. I'm fully aware that the mainstream media were very much on their case on Sunday because they believed it too.
So to circulate that rumour ended up being having quite a negative effect on them, yeah.
If you want to know how to create change, spread a rumour. Now, the Victorian Prep Trial will, don't do that, it will expand to include up to 2,600 people. We just heard from Jill Hennessy, our health minister.
Right.
I've run out of breath.
Yeah. I think it was something that a lot of people, community organisations and people in the LGBT community in Victoria have been warning for a long time, you know, given that New South Wales announced it last year on World AIDS Day. And we've kind of just been waiting to see when it was going to happen. So I guess it's great that it's finally happened. But obviously, they said that it's estimated that it'll reduce, I think, new HIV transmissions by 30% over the next 12 months, which is great. But obviously, the end goal is to get, you know, PrEP TGA approved and PBS listed. So
As I asked Minister Hennessy, that equates to around 77 people in this state.
Mm-hmm.
But over the period of the trial, but some 500 people will be diagnosed HIV positive during that period. And so there's still a lot to make up before we get there, really.
I think that's the thing. And a lot of these instances are, you know, small steps are made. And while they may have a positive impact to an extent, there's obviously a lot more that can be done. And in this instance, yeah, PrEP needs to be approved. But although the estimated time isn't until potentially like the end of the year or next year that it's going to be?
17.
Yeah. So it's quite a while away.
Sorry to step in on this, what is normally Matt's segment.
No, Shannon, it's what you're
I think the minister brought up a very relevant point at the end of her discussion with you, is that I'm feeling that this conversation about ending HIV transmissions is dominated by PrEP. We all agree it is a game changer. It needs to be introduced into Australia. But in the meantime, until that happens, we need to remember the discussion generally about sex safety and sexual health.
None of it happens without good testing regimes.
Well, this is it. Get tested. Talk about it with your friends.
Get on treatment if you're positive.
Get on treatment if you need to. If you're comfortable using condoms, do that. Take whatever steps it takes. I'm feeling that the feeling in the community is, if we had PrEP, this would end. No, there are other means to also end HIV transmissions, which we committed to before PrEP was even on the table.
It's a regime of a number of things that need to take place.
Absolutely.
PrEP will assist in getting there quicker, potentially.
It's not the only
answer. It's not the only answer.
Although it's a lot of the, I guess, the advertising or the speak around it makes it seem as though that's the cure, or that's the solution to, you know.
What I am pleased to see was that the health minister also acknowledged that Victoria's community, and by that she meant, you know, individuals like us and also our media and our orgs, are really world leaders in this space. And I've had that come from many people from overseas who say, you know, that in Europe they're having this conversation, in London they're having this conversation, and in America they've had it with a kind of different edge. But no one's getting it as right as we are, sort of.
That's amazing.
There's
a lot of work being done, you know, not by individuals, but also the organisations around like VAC, Living Positive. I think it's incredible.
And we should acknowledge the signatories to the PrEP Accord that have done amazing work in this space alongside the Victorian AIDS Council and Living Positive Victoria.
Definitely.
Who do good work. Now, high school students are petitioning for a same-sex high school deb ball. Well, for inclusion at high school deb balls. Is this across the board or is it just one school?
Well, it was one school that prompted it, but I think they're kind of calling for high schools more generally to be more inclusive.
It's going to be walking the streets. That'll be next.
No, this story just warms my heart because my high school experience was not like this. I feel like no one was championing LGBT stuff when I was in high school. Not that it was like that long ago.
Public or private school?
Public.
Right.
And as is this one. Yeah. And I feel like even though this is a very specific instance, like a deb ball, I think more generally, like when I was in high school, there was not even one person talking out about...
Can we name the school?
Yeah, Bundoora Secondary College.
Right. So, and we've told by our current state government that they want all of the public schools, high schools, on board with the Safe Schools Coalition program. Surely this is a part of that.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, apparently, so the two girls that started the petition...
Where's James Maleno? did we give him a call? Isn't he the Education Minister?
Oh, no, I haven't asked him about that. I was only spoke to...
He marched at Pride March with the rest of them on Sunday.
Well,
I might have to have a chat to James. Give him a call.
Well, in relation to Bundoora, I think that so far a few of the teachers have gotten on board behind the students and said, like, we're willing to back you up. But the actual principal of the school more generally haven't actually responded to the petition yet, so I'm not sure if they're going to allow same-sex couples to go. So that's pending.
I would suggest following your good work, Matthew Wade. They'll suddenly find a way through and see the light. Finally, the biggest study of intersex people in Australia has just been released. Why is this important, and what have we discovered?
Well, it's really significant because I think the intersex community at large, you know, are very underreported on. You know, the information around that community isn't publicised. There's a lack of awareness and a lack of knowledge in that community. So, I mean, Shannon, actually, you can talk about it as well because Shannon wrote the story, but it's kind of like...
All right, Shannon, tell me all about it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to handball it, but yeah, I'll go ahead, go for it.
I just stopped paying attention for a second, and we're talking about the intersex study.
Why is it important?
It's important because this is one of the first and largest studies of intersex people in Australia to happen outside of a hospital scenario or hospital environment. So that means free of sort of, I guess, the prejudices of doctors and medically trained staff who we know can put unnecessary pressure on parents. And I think the result of the study is that one of the surprising things that they found was how restricted intersex people were from accessing good education for whatever reasons, because maybe medically they couldn't attend school, et cetera, et cetera.
Or bullying or something.
Bullying, yeah. How deeply entrenched in poverty a lot of intersex people are. 41% of intersex people are earning less than, I think, $20,000 a year, and about 50% are earning less than $41,000 a year.
Which would be directly related to education too.
Education, access, health. And I think what the Organisation for Intersex Australia is calling for now is legislation to not do coercive surgery on infants and children. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a landmark study and book to be released for intersex people. Hopefully it gets a little bit more understanding about, I think, this often ignored area of Australian society.
It's the first study of adults outside of a hospital
setting. And it's actually one of the biggest in Australia on top of that, which is amazing.
Yeah. Shannon Power, Matthew Wade, both from starobserver.com.au. I want to thank you so much for your contribution to today's program. And
can we just read out this text message from my mum? Sorry if you've got to end the show.
I don't want my daughter to leave. Please don't encourage her, but I know that she will stay safe. Shannon, love mum. Oh.
So cute. Do you want to swap spots so I can stay at my parents' house? You go to Sydney and I'll stay.
Yeah, you know, I don't want you to leave me, Shannon. Stay in Melbourne.
Hey, we got to go. thank you very much for joining me on the line today. Thank you very much for listening. My name's Dean Beck. You can follow me on Twitter at Dean Beck on Air. We'll see you again soon. Till next time, keep well. Take care. Bye-bye.
This Joy program has a podcast, and you can subscribe to it at joy.org.au.
Your community.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.